I want you to give a big welcome from somebody who traveled all the way from Moss Bluff, Louisiana, just to be with you tonight. Come on, Brother Jason Doucette. He's going to come and bring a word. Amen. Y'all help him out, encourage him. Come on, give him a high five as he's coming up. Now, just don't say thank you when you get up here. Whatever you do, don't say thank you. Thank you very much. I will say thank you. I'll say thank you to the Lord for letting me have a message to deliver, and thank you guys for putting up with me to deliver something that he put on my heart. So I hope it means a lot to you. I know it meant a lot to me. It was a surprise, so I'm going to start out with that. I told Pastor, you know, a while back, he said, you know, make sure you have something ready just in case. And I did. I was pretty faithful with that and had something ready. And so I was pretty confident that I was familiar with the material, you know. And then the other day, I think it was day before yesterday, the Lord was like, we're not doing that. And I was like, man, come on. I'm kind of familiar with it. I'm nervous already. You know how it is, talking in front of people. And he said, yeah, we're not doing that. So I was at work, and I was panicking a little bit. And I said, okay, well, when I'm driving home, he'll give me something. So, and I'm spending some time, too, because this is going to be quick. So I'm driving home and nothing, you know. So I got home, and I said, well, let me take care of some stuff here, and then I'll get a little minute to relax, and you'll give me a good word. So then I told my wife, I said, okay, I'm going in the bedroom. I'm going to pray, and I'm gonna receive the word. So I got in there, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready. And he said, no, just relax. And I said, what do you mean? He said, just relax. We don't need to do that right now. I said, I got a limited amount of time, and it's, you know, I'm already kind of like that. And he said, it'll be all right. Just go ahead and get you some sleep. I said, okay, I'm going to dream about it. It's going to come in a dream. That's awesome. You know, nothing. Zip. I get up in the morning. I'm saying, okay, well, driving to work is usually pretty fruitful. So I'm driving to work, nothing. And I'm like, Lord, come on, man, I'm getting stressed out. He said, you getting stressed out? I said, yeah. He said, why? I said, because it's a limited amount of time. He said, hey, when have I ever put you out there and let you hang? And I was like, never. Right? The Lord's faithful. He's never done that. He's good. He loves us. He's not going to do that. So I calmed down for about 3 minutes. And I got to work. And, of course, as soon as you get to work, it's run, you know. So I was like, well, I'm going to take some time here in a little bit. I'm just going to take some time. The Lord said, no, you're not. You're on company time. And I was like, man, but it's tonight. So anyway, I was faithful and did my work and stuff. And, you know, a little bit later, I got a little hungry, and I said, well, I'm going to go get me some lunch. The Lord said, no, you're not. Sit down and turn your computer on. So I did that, and he gave it to me, right? But it's new material. I'm an old man. I'm going to need the glasses tonight. I'm going to be reading more than acting like I know the material, because I don't. But I've read through it, and it has blessed me greatly. At first, it's kind of a little dark, but it's good. It's for our own good, and it's something that we all go through. So I don't know if y'all can pull that up or not. But the title that God gave me for this is called Fatigue. Fatigue. Well, first off, I got some good news and I got some bad news. So usually when somebody says that, there's a joke, right? Well, I got one because pastor usually opens with a joke, and that's good. So a guy went to his doctor for some test results, and he said, your test showed that you have only 24 hours to live. He said, oh my goodness. He said, what's the good news? He said, that was the good news. The bad news is I forgot to tell you yesterday. So I do have some good news and some bad news. The bad news is people are just weary. They're tired. Fatigue has set in. Even God's people are tired. We're exhausted watching the news, hearing the chaos going around the world. The news of the war in Iran, the gas prices, sickness in the minds of people, you know, killing somebody for whatever offense they can come up with. You know, just the depravity that's out there. We're not used to this kind of stuff, you know. We witness family members being carried away by the devil into filthy lifestyles, and that'll certainly send them to hell. We witness people in the streets talking to themselves, walking in circles, and due to the drug and the mental conditions that they have from either doing drugs or some abuse that they had in their life that caused them to think they needed the drugs to escape it. We know God can do anything, so why doesn't he just help them? Then I realize that we're the hands and feet of Christ. We're the ones called to be salt and light of this world. We're just tired. Fatigue has set into the church. And God's people are so tired that we're of little use. Now, that's not everybody. There's maybe none of you in here. Some people are on fire for the Lord, and that's awesome. If that's you that's on fire for the Lord, then just keep this message in your back pocket. Might do you some good someday. If it's you that is tired and you are suffering fatigue and you're not being of a lot of use to the kingdom, hang on, there's some good news coming. I sometimes find myself looking at people through the lens of fatigue that has me saying to myself, I can barely get through the day, and you want me to help somebody? You know, I leave the house at 6, drive 35 minutes to work, work 10 hours, drive an hour home because the traffic's terrible, and we're faced with, you know, household stuff. My wife takes care of her mom, so I cook. We have animals. We got to do all the stuff around the place. I'm sure all of you have something similar, right? Then you got work, you got deadlines, you got stress, you got fires that constantly need to be put out. And then there's people. How many of you can identify with dealing with people sometimes is pretty rough, right? Y'all are putting up with me right now, so that's good. Fatigue sets in and robs us of the little bit of energy we have. We've all had times of fatigue. If we continue to allow fatigue to set in, one day we'll look back and see that years have passed and we haven't really progressed at all, not in our faith. One time I had worked all day, I worked all night, and all the next day. And it was a Friday, so I knew I was going to get some rest. So I went to the bank to deposit the check or whatever it was, and I was in a truck that was a Standard. And there was about 4 cars in front of me and cars behind me, and apparently I fell asleep. And it's a Standard, and I had it in gear. And a lot, God took care of me, right? So I woke up a little bit, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and there's a mom and a daughter, and they're just frantically waving at me. You know, and I thought, well, maybe I fell asleep. They want to know if I'm okay, so I waved at them. I'm good. Well, apparently I fell back asleep, because when I looked up, there was no cars in front of me, and I could hear the mom and the daughter in the faint distance saying, are you okay? Are you okay? So I rolled my window down, and they said, are you okay? Are you drunk? Are you on drugs? Are you okay? And I said, no, I just worked like a double or a triple, but I'm just tired. They said, all the cars left. We came behind you, got in another lane, did our banking, drove down the road, felt bad, and came back to check on you. You've been here a while. So, yeah, we get tired. Life will wear you out, right? You know, and that kind of resonated with me when they said, are you okay? And I remember thinking back then, am I okay? No, I'm not okay. You know, all of this seems to be a little much sometimes. I find myself wanting to get away and just relax and to not have to deal with things, though, you know. So that's kind of escapism. I tell these stories that the Lord gave me in this because I think it kind of pinpoints in our heart where we can sometimes get if we let things get in. And it also lets us know that there's hope to get out. So back in the day, there were soldiers, and they often found themselves in foxholes and difficult situations, you know, and they're hoping for the shelling to stop just long enough for them to be able to breathe or take a breath before the next shell hits, hoping that it doesn't hit right where they're at. Sometimes it goes on for hours. Sometimes it goes on for days. They don't have time to eat, sleep, or even drink anything. Fatigue sets in. Listen, fatigue is a thief and a robber. It steals energy, joy, and peace to the point that fatigue puts us in survival mode. I know I have been guilty of being in survival mode sometimes for a year or more, and then you wake yourself out of that somehow, you know. And there's a lot of people that they don't have the Lord, they can't wake up, and they live in survival mode, and life is just a waste. You wonder how someone gets so far down that they think, I'm going to take my life. They don't have that peace, they don't have that joy, and most of the time they're just in survival mode. They don't have that hope. When you get in survival mode, you're in trouble. Survival mode puts you in a constant state of fight or flight where your body doesn't know if you're in a life-threatening situation or just worn out. All it knows is you're in a desperate battle and need relief. Some people turn to drugs, and we know that leads to an even worse outcome. A huge percent of homelessness is due to drug abuse, trying to escape a hurt from their past, trying to escape the reality of their life now because maybe they were homeless before they started drugs. You don't know. And it's just a type of distraction. Kids nowadays, they're always distracting themselves with something. You know, they're either gaming or they're on their phones. You ever try to talk to a kid? They're on their phone the whole time you're talking. Whether they hear you or not, it's they're still lost somewhere else, halfway in that world and halfway in this one. That's escapism. Just trying to get through the day. Even kids are fatigued nowadays. You're hit by so much, you know. Look to your neighbor and, picking on you, but look to your neighbor and tell them we're meant for more, right? Life is better than that. God has something better for us than that. Sometimes you'll see somebody that seems perfectly fine on the outside, but they're dealing with some stuff inside that causes them to be in survival mode, and they're stressed out. Stress is a killer. Stress will slowly make you stop caring about things, stop caring about life, friends, family, and even God. We're meant for more than that. Fatigue can turn a person that would normally be a great employee into someone who barely does anything, barely shows up, barely comes back day to day. What happens to a lot of people is they get into survival mode, and they just want to rest or escape so they can stop reading their Bibles because it's convicting or seems to call their actions out as unacceptable. So they drift, not so slowly slipping into a lifestyle that is worse than what stressed them out to begin with. When we are in survival mode, we're usually not a very good example of what a Christian should be. And certainly no one would want to emulate you or copy your life, sure. If the world can't see that you handle things differently, troubles are blessings, but especially troubles, if they can't see that you don't handle life any differently than they do, then your testimony is greatly diminished. We're meant for more. Another story. Listen, I've said this before too, but when those young guys left the farm in World War II, a lot of them had never been off the farm, or they'd gone to school, they'd gone to the feed store, and they went home back in the day, World War II. So a lot of them had heard a lot of things in school, but they'd never seen it. And then they find themselves in Italy, and they're walking through the countryside, and it's beautiful. God's creation is beautiful. God did a fantastic job, right? So they're walking through, and they're seeing all this beauty. They're seeing the grapes. They're hearing the language. They're seeing all of this stuff. And around the corner, boom, their best friend is just blown to pieces. A little bit later, they're walking again, and they're going through Greece, you know, or France, and it's beautiful. Same thing. It's beautiful. God's creation is wonderful. Around the corner, another battle. That's life. I don't want to take away the magic or the beauty of life, but I want you to understand we are at war. There is a war that is constantly raging. The Bible tells us that we wrestle with principalities and powers of the darkness of this world. In this life, you will have troubles. We cannot allow it to break us down into survival mode. We cannot allow ourselves to drift into fatigue. There's work to be done, right? This life is a lot less important than the next life. But when we make this our all and everything, we get disappointed at every turn. You might have a bright day. You might have a bright week, but there's trouble coming. We're called to fight the good fight. We must make ourselves fit for duty, and age is no excuse. There's a saying that I like. I'm a guy. So there's a saying that I like, and I think it's appropriate. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. If you're a warrior in a garden, if trouble breaks out, you're prepared. If you're a gardener in a war, you'll soon be overwhelmed and or destroyed. When life everlasting is not enough, the house, the car, the kids all become a source of stress, it means we're not recognizing the blessings God has given us. So what's the underlying cause of all of this? We're unthankful and we're ungrateful. You say, but we do have troubles. We do have to work to pay bills, and there is a lot of stress. God says you're trying to do all of this in your strength, and that'll never bring peace. Change your idea of life, because since the fall, it was never all sunshine and rainbows. So if ungratefulness is the main problem, then what's the answer? Right. Now we get to the good news. Tired of all that other stuff. This is going to be short. God loves you and has sent his Son to suffer the penalty of sin so we may be reconciled to the Father and receive the benefits as his children. And I say this in class a lot, but this is God, creator of all things. He said, I knew you before you were in the womb. He pays attention to your thoughts, your actions, your desires, your heart, and all of that. He's watching over you. What a wonderful Father we have, that he would pay attention to all of that with us. Jesus said, in this world you will have troubles, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Which is to say, I understand what you're going through, and I have a plan to get you through it. One of my favorite pieces of scripture comes from Psalms 23, and it says, I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That paints a beautiful picture of deliverance, provision, and comfort, right? Even in the middle of that battle, even in the middle of this war, God's with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, right? There will be times of prosperity. There will be things. He said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. But like me waiting for this message, we get stressed, right? If we allow that stress to overwhelm us, we get fatigue. If we do that long enough, then we get in survival mode. Tell your neighbor, we're meant for more. Please don't think that I'm trying to get you away from seeing the good in life and only see the battle. I'm not, but I wouldn't want anyone to slip into a victim mentality when they face trouble as though it's a strange thing to encounter. This world and its people are lost, depraved, bitter, wicked without end. But God loves them and wants you and I to reach them with the good news of the gospel. To be steadfast and ready to win souls, we must first find room in our hearts and our lives to love as God loves. We'll find that difficult if we see life as arduous and only seeking rest and escapism. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Read his word. We need to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. We get spoiled with the gifts of life. We get spoiled with the beauty of life. And then we're not prepared for the ugliness that comes. Who's lost somebody? I've lost a lot. Anybody else has lost somebody? Pretty much everybody, right? It's devastating. And sometimes you wonder, how am I going to get through this? This is a hole. How do we fill this hole? You already know the answer if you're here tonight. You know the answer. You know who fills the hole. You know how you get through it. Don't fool yourself. He said, when have I put you out there and then I left you hanging? Right? We can get mad at God because they died. We can get mad at God because they were taken. We may not understand why, but God is good, period. God loves us. So we need to be comfortable with being uncomfortable so that in times of ease, we keep ourselves from getting complacent and thereby slipping when the wind blows in a different direction. One more time, Greg. We're meant for more. There is within us, believers, a great power, the great Holy Spirit of God. As Pastor says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us. What a privilege. You know, what a privilege that God would dwell in not a tabernacle made with hands, but dwell within us as God built tabernacles. You know, sometimes we take the Holy Spirit where we shouldn't. Repent of that. Move forward and know that God loves you. And he's going to guide you if you open yourself to him, right? Please set your heart on God and see life as he would have you see it, not as a victim, but as an overcomer that is convinced of the truth of the gospel. And remember, if we let ourselves fall into survival mode, our faith can be overran. Tell your neighbor, don't let your faith get overran. This message hit me today because the perceived stress that I've been under, but as Pastor Mike would say, that's stinking thinking. The house, the kids, this life, the job, they're all blessings. It's our outlook that's the problem. We're spoiled rotten, you know, and we don't realize that we're at war. We think we're at peace and everything's supposed to be comfortable. And everything's supposed to be shiny and clean and good. And the world's not that way at all. And that's, man did that, right? We say this in class too. You don't have to teach anyone to be evil or wicked, right? Little babies, when they're little, they'll take something from the other kid, hit him across the head, and then play with it. And you say, did you take that? No. Did you hit him? No. Liars, violence, you name it. We're born into it, right? So God is just, but there's a way out. So that's the good news, is that life is hard. There are some good times. Don't get so caught up in those that you're not ready for the bad times. Don't get so caught up in peace that you're not ready for war, because you are meant to be a warrior. Man, woman, and child, I don't care who you are. You're meant to be a warrior. You are meant to rescue out of the fire everyone. And sometimes we like to choose who we do that with. Sometimes we like to say, well, that one's not coming. That's the danger. That's what God says, don't judge, right? That's what God tells us, don't judge that. Don't judge whether or not somebody is going to accept Christ. You do what you're supposed to do. And we talk about that also. You may plant the seed, right? You may water it. You may come harvest it. But you all get part of the blessing from that, right? You all get a star in your crown that you can cast at Jesus' feet. What we don't like is when the word tells us that we've been bought with a price. Your life is not your own. We feel like we have rights. You have no rights. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. But The comfort for me is, it's the highest price ever paid for anything, ever. God came down and died for us. He loved us so much. And I think part of the reason that Jesus sweat blood in Gethsemane is because he didn't want to leave his friends, you know. He didn't want to leave, and he didn't want to have to go through what he had to go through. But it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the shame of the cross. And why was it a shame? Everyone that's hung on a tree is cursed, not you and me. That's right. He took it. He did that. And he blesses us in this life too. But again, if we get complacent, if we just want blessings from God, if we just want things from God, if we just want rest, if we just want peace, if we just want quiet, if we just want comfort, you're not a warrior. You're a child, and you're not a faithful child. We have to be prepared for war, but enjoy the good times, right? We are meant for war, and we are warriors even when prosperity finds us. So if you know these things, and you don't feel loved, and you don't feel empowered and purpose-driven, then let's pray together to receive the strength and refreshing from God to carry on with our mission, which is always other people. So I'm going to lead y'all in prayer. We're going to pray for that right there. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And, Father, we pray that you lead us not as spoiled children, but as warriors, as men and women and children of God Almighty, creator of all things, that you lead us in a path that leads us to the will that you have for our lives and what you want us to accomplish. Fill us with purpose, a driven purpose, Father God, that we may have a hunger and a desire for what you want for us. And may we be faithful to follow that out. And may we be able to receive blessing without being spoiled to the point that we're weak. So let even the blessings be a strength to us, with appreciation to God, thankfulness to God, and not be ungrateful. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's wonderful to have someone that can handle the house of the Lord for you while you're out. And we weren't sure if we were going to be back tonight, but we felt compelled to be back tonight. And it became not so much about the weather, but about being here to impart whatever the Lord wanted. And, you know, I don't know if you realize that it flows both ways. So you impart to us when you're hearing, but it's not because you're doing anything other than receiving from the Lord. And so I just want to add one thing to what Jason said. It is a privilege that the Son of God would dwell in us, but it's not just a privilege, it's power. And you can't miss that, because it's not your righteousness, it's his power. And so anything you're struggling with is just a matter of you tapping into his power. So I was so thankful during the song service, because the power is here. We were in a church that is excellent in all points. I mean, it's just the greeters were perfect. The place was perfect. The path, everything is perfect in everything you would want on your checklist, the way the message was presented. But I did not detect the power of God in that altar. And it's better to be small and have the power of God in your midst than to have all those checks done, right? And so I couldn't wait to get back to where the power is. Now, I don't know why we stay the size we do, but it's God's church, right? Because I know that this church is capable of doing that same thing over there. But what good is a big church with a lot of lost souls, right? But they do have a lot of souls they can convert if they ever get the power message down. So I prayed for them, Lord. Let them know your power. Because it's in the power that he converts. He sanctifies. He gets you free. You don't get yourself free. You can't. You just yield to that internal presence, that internal power, that internal cleansing. And you know, status, brand names, all that stuff is ashes. Moth and rust destroy, but the presence of God dwelling in you, and then connecting with another believer. I remember being brand new in the Lord, and I was selling cars. I was an F&I manager, and brand new, so on fire. That never changed, by the way, but my discernment was new. I never experienced that, and there was a person walking about 150 yards from me. And you could tell he was gray-haired, and that's all you could tell. But the Holy Spirit, that man was a Christian, and I knew it. Because the Spirit of God in me was bearing with the Spirit of God in him. And I knew he was a Christian. So I ran over, who's that guy that just walked across over there that went to the service department? Oh, that's Joe. He owns the Christian bookstore. The Spirit of God bears witness with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in you. You got to get out of the head that walks in sympathy and human mercy, that walks in all legal things, and is always like, when you think about your childhood and you think about what a brat you were and mom always telling you and all that stuff, but if you think about the moments when God encountered you, when you did something right, because there were moments when the Spirit of God met you as a little child, when he was there as a little girl or a little boy, and you knew it. You recognized his presence, his power. It didn't even need a church. You didn't even need your Bible. You didn't even need anybody to tell you about anything. You just knew the Spirit of God was with you. His power was drawing you then. His power is drawing you now. And his power is in you. And that's the difference maker. So all you have to do, any moment of your life, any moment of your existence, is just yield to the Spirit of God in you. You don't have to go, the Scripture says it. You don't have to go up to the highest mountain. You don't go down the depth of the sea. The word is near you. It's even in your mouth. It's right there. It's in you. All these actors around you are constantly sticking in your ear unbelief. And you gotta shut it down. Why would God put you in a place like this? So you can finally learn to hear. Because you've been hearing all kinds of other stuff, right? Why would God humble you to put you in a place like this? The same reason he put Elijah by the brook Cherith being fed by ravens, so you can hear him. Why would he put you here instead of some happening place? Because you're not going to hear him there. There it's going to be about status and what your neighbor's doing and did you wear the right clothes today and, oh, I'm not driving the right car. There it's, and you're going to be so distracted. With same thing happens when you're on your job. You're so distracted by the fear of man rather than the fear of God. So you got to get the fear of God going. But what is that? Does that mean that I'm terrorized by the Lord? Because I don't want to be scared of God. No, it's reverence for who he is. It's understanding what Jason said, the privilege of God in you. And then understanding that the privilege of him in you releases his virtue, his power, his strength, his holiness, it's all fused in with you, and your identity now is in him and not who once you were. So now who you once were, don't ever let anybody suppress your testimony because of their insecurities or fears. It's what my God has done. Amen? So I wasn't some little, I made some bad choices in my life because of my own desires. Things happen, but that's not why. It was my choice to do what I did. My fears, my whatevers, my excuses constructed to go against what I knew better. We all knew better. So why did we do it? Because of the sinful nature. And the Lord in his infinite mercy reaches in anyway and transforms us. Because that was the goal from the moment he saw you being created in your mother's womb, was to reach into that life and make you his. And you have power in you to always see that. Those moments when something was right and you encountered the Holy Spirit even little. When you made a right choice under his influence. When everything tempted you. Everything was saying, no, don't do that, do this instead. But you went, no, I can't. I have to do the right thing. And look, you get a brownie point, but that don't get you to heaven. It's his power that gets you there. Those are just touch points, little jewels that sparkle in the darkness that tells you goodness was alive and well in this dark earth. Goodness is alive and well. The glory of God fills the earth. And so you got to learn to recognize it and see it. So he'll put you in a humble place, just like he did Elijah, so that you learn to hear his voice and stop yielding to the fear of man. And be just, can you feel the saturation of his presence? Can you feel his love just from head to toe? Like it just is heavy in your fingertips. Just the anointing of his presence. It just bathes you. And you just feel the love just saturating you. And you want to get up. It feels like if you just went over there like that, like it would just zap them through with love, right? Just, you can feel it. And you know it'll release right into them. And it will. It will. That love will flow from you right into them. You just got to stay filled up and refill up and learn to worship when things don't seem right. So now if you've been rehearsing that I'm a victim, okay, you're going to get the reward of that. If you've been rehearsing that Christ is the only victim, because he's the only one who didn't deserve what he got. He did not deserve that, but willingly loved you and endured it so that you wouldn't have to, even though you did deserve it. How awesome. So all we need to do then is saturate in his love, saturate in his power. And now in that power, be witnesses in whatever you do in your day to day. But you're not governed by that anymore. That's not what governs you. You can walk away hungry and you're still full. You can walk away with little and have much because of who's in you. Amen. So this is what I think we need to do. This man carries authority by office. Not because, it's like the same thing with military, right? If the guy's got the stripes on the shoulder, you say, yes, sir. He's got the stripes on the shoulder of anointing and office. He didn't have to speak, right? Jim sent me this awesome video about Jonah. I'd never looked at it that way. It was awesome because Jonah gets on a boat. All the people in the boat are bowing down to God, but not Jonah. Jonah goes to the city. Jonah's doing everything he can to not see the city converted. He gives the worst message you could give anybody. He's not, oh, come on up 10 points and let's have an altar call. He's like, yeah, you got 6 weeks and you're toast. What do we do? Do we repent? Do we offer money? What do we do? Nothing. Just you're toast. That's the only message. But the whole town converts because of the office and the Spirit of God. And it was a message to Jonah. And when I watched it, it's like, you know, that's a message to me. And that is liberating. Because the office is just something for you to cast your faith onto. The Spirit of God in you is what you want to make it about. Because you can be just like those sailors. You can be just like the Ninevites. They don't even have to have a good message. You can do business with God for yourself. Amen? And get things right. So all those Ninevites got converted. All those sailors got converted while Jonah's still in the darkness trying to get people murdered. Jonah still doesn't understand. Jonah's still angry. Jonah's still all up inside of himself. He can't find the freedom, but yet he can hear God. He cried out to him from the grave. If y'all don't know it, Jonah was dead, okay? You don't stay three. He was dead. From the grave, God resurrects him after 3 days. And, you know, Jesus said, this is the only sign you're going to get, a 3-day resurrection. You don't need a lot of head knowledge. You don't need money. You don't need power. You need the Spirit of God in you. And you need to recognize his power and saturate in that. Just soak in. So let's stand. Let's stand up. So he don't like to lay hands on people. He'll do it. Because if you don't have faith, he's wasting his time. Yes? If you're not drawing something from the Father through the contact, through recognizing the office, then the provision doesn't come. So healing flows. He doesn't even have to touch you. We've watched healing flow all through this congregation from hand to hand. That's why he does what he does. Because he doesn't want you to think it's him. He wants you to know it's God. But there's an office. So when you put your faith in the God who appointed the person in the office, then the Lord, I say it often, the Lord can use a donkey. He can speak. So what you're missing is only missing because you've just not believed. God made it fully available. So if you're still struggling with stupid addictions that are ruling you, you're still struggling with just these behaviors that you think you can't change. Oh, Lord, you called me like I am. You knew how I was when you called me. Yeah, he did. And that's why he wants to transform you into the image of his son. So if you're not seeing Jesus in the mirror yet, then there's more work that he needs to do. All you have to do is yield. So if generosity and thankfulness and the willingness and all those things are not part of your normal DNA reaction, if it's all about you, I do have a me. It's not about me button I can loan you for a day or two until you get the message. But you know, it is about you. He put his attention on you. But to get that flow, you have to put your attention on him and him alone. So there's an anointing right now in this room. And it's released through the one appointed to be the head of this house. And that's your pastor. He's your pastor. Right? And so when you talk to the Lord about the under shepherd of the great shepherd, and you start to let that flow happen, then whatever you need, whatever's declared from this pulpit, you can have. Amen? Amen. So have you heard words of freedom yet from this pulpit? Have you heard what God will do for you yet from this pulpit? Have you heard it in conversations, even in telephone calls or counseling? Have you heard what the Lord will do for you? All that's missing is you saying, thank you, Lord, what Jason said. So we stay in natural things. And we judge our life by natural things and natural reactions because we're caught in natural. But the Spirit of God is here. And it's where the Spirit is, there is freedom.
Amen. And let me just say this before we go any further. Thank you, Jason. It's a good word. Very convicting. And I couldn't help but like, man, Lord, the way you do stuff. And while he's talking and talking about being unthankful, well, he first said that we were practicing escapism because we just went on vacation. But just picking on Jason right there. But then I begin to think of all the frustrating moments. Now, we enjoyed ourselves. We had fun. But all the frustrating moments and all the complaining I did. And I thought, here we are. We're going. We're driving a car that the Lord just blessed us with. I don't use cuss words, okay? But I cursed that car a lot, not with curse words, but I don't know who designed the GPS on that thing, but I can't tell you how many times I'm going to be nice. I'll say, your car is mentally disabled. We'll just say it that way. Because we're driving down this blacktop road, we decided to try to avoid Atlanta, and we didn't want to go, you know, catch all the traffic and everything, so we decided to go a back road. And so it kept taking me down these weird places, and it took me down this one road. It's a blacktop road, and it's supposed to be a highway of some kind. So the speed limit was 55. We'd been driving 45, and so I'm thinking, oh, good, at least I raised it to 55. And then as we're driving, literally, no sign, no warning, no nothing, we eclipse a hill. And as we go over that hill, all of a sudden, there's no more blacktop, and we kind of jump over this thing, land on a red dirt road and a curve at 55. And so then we drove miles down this red dirt road and just, you know, hoping we could get back. I'm saying all that to say, now I look back at it and I think, oh, it's funny and it's a good story to tell. But my goodness, I got to thinking how ungrateful I was acting. And I know I was getting on my wife's nerves. In fact, she even said something along the lines of, is faith only for the pulpit? Oh, man, I hate when she's right. I said all that to say that we can so easily fall into that. Here we're having a good time. We're thankful that God blessed us to even be able to get away and to be able to go and be with our daughter and son-in-law and to see some sights and have some fun and do some things. And in the midst of all of that blessing, I don't know how many times I complained about this or that. It was usually the GPS. I will tell you that. It waits till a major turn, and just as you're passing, it says, turn left. Things like that. But not that the devil was in the car, although sometimes I thought it was. But the idea that some little thing, you know, they call that a first world problem. I'm mad because the GPS tells me too late to turn left or to turn right. I mean, if you know, 99% of the world don't have that problem to complain about. And so it got me thinking. In fact, I'm sitting here and I turned to Pastor Cindy and I said, I am so sorry for demonstrating all them times on this trip a lack of faith and gratefulness. And I was aggravated because I wanted to go north to get back home because I thought there was going to be a bunch of weather and I didn't want to drive through all that rain. And she said, if it were me, I would go down to I-10 and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, but that's not going to do any good. We're going to get caught in all this traffic, and we're going to get caught in all this rain. And I was fussing about it. I said, but because you want to do it, I'm going to do it. And she goes, well, I think we'll get there earlier. Maybe we can make it in time for church. Well, I don't think so. I hope so, but I don't think so. I couldn't stand up here tonight without openly letting you know we all deal with ungratefulness sometimes. And in the moment it's brought to our attention, we better repent. Thank you, Brother Jason, for the message, because if it was for nobody else, it was for me. How easily we complain when we're so blessed. We all have His Spirit in us. If you've been born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you. We all have the same power. Amen? And it is a bondage-breaking power. In fact, there are times, and some of you know, where the Lord will say, tell everybody not to lay hands on anybody, but to take their anointed hand and just lay it on themselves. And we've had miracles happen from doing that. But if there's, I just want to challenge you before that, because this is what I find out. If we got stuff in our heart that we're not willing to repent of, then when the power, even when the power of God is there, it's like it can't move. It's like it can't flow through. And especially if there's ungratefulness, if there is unforgiveness, if there is bitterness, if there's any of those things. So let's deal with that. Let's just right now in your own hearts. If you've got any of that, you've been hearing, like I just told you, you've been hearing yourself complain more than praise. Come on, let's go ahead and get that right now. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just thank you that your grace, Lord, washes all of that away. I thank you that your word sets us straight. And we thank you for the word that was brought here tonight. Lord, I thank you that it's so easy for us to take for granted what you've given us and what you've done in us, Lord, and what you want to do through us. Sometimes we forget and we get our minds set on everything except for what you want to do. But tonight, Lord, I thank you that your power is here to heal, to deliver, to set free. For anyone who will come before you, Lord, with a repentant heart, with a grateful heart, Lord, with a thankful heart that we're even still alive. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you're going to meet every need that needs to be met tonight. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, Lord, even financially. As your people put their trust in you. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you for this service tonight, for this opportunity to be together. Lord, to be back in service with these people, Lord, that we love so much. And I just pray, Father, that you would have your way in each and every life, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you will reveal yourself to each one, each and every day, in ways that they've never known before. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you bring life where there was death. Lord, you bring healing where there was sickness. Lord, you bring joy where there was depression, Lord. I thank you that you are the source of all good things. And Lord, we declare our trust in you tonight. And we thank you, Father. I pray that as your people leave here tonight, Lord, that they will sense your presence go with them from this place. And Lord, tomorrow when they get on the job site or wherever it is that you have them, may that presence, may the fragrance of your presence still be with them. Lord, may there be a burning desire in their hearts, Lord, to love people the way you love them and to see people delivered. The way you deliver us. In Jesus' name, I thank you for that. Amen.